got the Launch Ramp Blues. Launch Ramp Blues. Launch Ramp Blues. Launch Ramp Blues.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a very interesting, knowledgeable person on the line with us. We tend to spend a lot of time on Fish Talk Radio on blue water fishing, and that's my fault. But we have someone on the line who's probably done some of that, and maybe we'll talk about it. But his passion is fly fishing. And so let me just let Rick Willis give his own introduction. He's an author. And do you still do radio, Rick?
I haven't done it for a while, no, except for you, John.
Might as well start at the top, huh?
Exactly.
But why don't you give us a little bit of an idea about who you are, what you do, and what your real passion is.
Well, in real life, I'm a radio and television producer, and in 1995, I did Trout Talk Radio, which was broadcast in 100 markets every Saturday. I did that for 6 years.
Wow.
And I traveled around the West and broadcast from an assortment of lodges and drift boats and fly shops. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with blue water fishing because I have a 36-foot jersey down on Oceanside. Oh. And I'm going next week to go chase some yellowtail and tuna.
I'll tell you what. I'm sure you've heard some stories. I'm not sure if it's hot as it was, but the last couple of weeks it's been on fire.
Well, last year it was unbelievable. It's probably the best it's been in 10 or 15 years.
And they're talking about this year is at least as good. And so
I'm going to go find out next week. I'll let you know, John.
Yeah. Well, a lot of bluefins. But real quickly, I don't want to use up all your time. But what's happened in Baja, well, a year ago when the water got too warm with El Nino and the bait fish started moving north. And that's why last year off Southern California was incredible.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
There's still a lot of billfish and some fish down there, but the yellowtail and the tuna and the Dorado are all up in Southern California now.
Well, I can't wait till I get down there and fill up the bait tank and drag out some of my flies.
There you go.
Nothing like a tuna on a fly rod.
Oh, well, let's talk about that for a minute. Now, when you're fly fishing as a purist, you cannot be in a boat that's under power. So, but you can get there and you can throw a line out, and as you hook up or right before you hook up, you put it in neutral, and then it's considered an official fly fishing catch. So can you describe real quick the process that you use to do that?
Now you're getting technical on me, John.
Well, no, we don't have to be technical. This is just for fun. But, you know, if you're not looking for a world record tuna, you don't have to worry about it. But tell us what you do when you go out fly fishing in deep water.
Well, we usually throw some plugs and feathers out and troll to where we think the tuna are, looking for boils and birds and whatnot. And once we find that, we reel all the junk in pretty much and pull out the fly rod.
The teasers.
Mm-hmm. We shut the motors off and start working the boil with the flies.
Mm-hmm.
They're big bunny strip flies, purple, yellow, same thing we use to catch makos with.
Well, you know, I've caught some sizable tuna before in my life. And using 50, 80-pound test line, if you get a tuna that's, well, let's just say over 100 pounds, it is a lot of work. And I cannot imagine doing that on, a 20-pound tippet?
Well, yeah, 20, 30, whatever you have handy. It's a job, and you have to do a lot of stripping and let them run and strip and run and strip and run because you're using a 10-weight. Or a 12-weight rod.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot of work. You got to try and grind them down and grind them down, and you get ground out at the same time.
Yeah.
When you're done, it's pretty much worth it, you know?
Well, how long does it take? It's a couple of years ago I was with somebody that had like a 250-pound, well, of course, with the factor figured in, it was well over 200 pounds, let's put it that way. and it was like 3 hours. And by
take longer than that on a fly rod.
By the time you get in, hands are all curled up and your muscles are are tightening up and you're in a lot of pain. So, but the thing with the fly rod, you can't put any leverage on it. If you've got a short stick, a heavy stick, and you put your hand up, for the leverage, you can pull it up. But on a fly rod, you just kind of have to guide it up. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, you can't beef it like you would a regular tuna stick or a drilling rod.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different game. It's all finesse.
Well, you better pack a lunch, right?
It's the same thing with sharks. I go out with Conway Bowman every once in a while, and then we'll bring in some Makos, 4 to 5, maybe 6 feet. And it's a battle, and it takes a while, but it's fun.
Oh, yeah. And if you like to suffer, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, if you're into masochism, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff you do. Normally, when you think of, now bass fishing with a fly rod is becoming quite popular. And actually,
yeah,
that's
because the trout population is dwindling in a lot of places.
Oh, really?
And it's catching on in warm water areas, down in Texas, some areas down south, some areas out west. And when the trout population is down or they're not feeding, a lot of guys like to go out and throw little bugs and grasshoppers and different stuff at them.
Mm-hmm.
They're using mostly a lot of foam stuff these days for flies.
Foam?
Yeah, foam. The old artifice, the old original materials, like feathers and fur and all that stuff, It's all gone to foam now. Because the foam flies don't fall apart, they float better, they're easier to cast, they're lighter, and they're cheaper and faster to tie. But you've got to, you really have to like bass. I've done a little bit of it out west.
Well, we were talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, Rick, that, because how many professional or semi-professional trout anglers are there? I guess you're about as close as they come, but how many, bass anglers are there that enter tournaments? There's thousands and thousands. And, the idea of fly fishing is becoming, apparently one of the rod manufacturers we're talking to has come out with a 7-foot fly rod. The reason for that is that the rules are in bass fishing, the rod has to be 7 feet or less. And so a lot of
I didn't know there were any rules.
Well, oh yeah, but you can use whatever you want. But we do know that fly fishing seems to be more effective than artificials or conventional equipment. Can you kind of give an idea why that's true?
I think what's happening is that they're throwing stuff that bass haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
They've seen a lot of hula poppers and Zara spooks and night crawlers and lizards, and they've seen about enough of that. And now these guys are using new flies and innovative fly patterns using foam. Mm-hmm. The fish haven't seen it before, so they're curious and they're hungry.
Right.
That's the only thing I can figure.
Right. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left. Let's talk a little bit more about you. You sent me a book, and what was the name of that book?
Hot Nymphs, Dry Flies, and Bent Rods. That pretty much sums up the whole book.
And I'll tell you what, if someone reads that book, they'll understand the passion as to why you do what you do, because it's not a how-to book. It's just a matter of the perspective of a passionate fly angler.
Yeah, and it's a compilation of stories and things that happened to me when I was traveling around the West doing the radio program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that happened to the people I met are things that you just can't make up. So I figured it would make a good book. And as a matter of fact, I just got back from a book tour in Montana.
Yeah,
I spent 3 weeks in the motorhome with Freckles the Wonder Dog. We hit about 15 or 20 fly shops up in Montana. And, of course, I fished my way in between fly shops.
Of course you do.
I used to go up to Montana for hopper season in August all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me I remember last time we talked to you were working on a new book.
Yes, I am. That was part of the book tour. That's going to be a chapter. Okay. You'll probably be a chapter two, John.
Well, let's go fishing, and we'll make a chapter out of it. What do you think?
I have to say, though, while we're still on the air here, that the fishing in Montana has slowly dwindled since I started going there.
We're gonna have to bring you back. We'll talk some more about that.
It's a fascinating subject, and we'll do it again.
We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Rick. We're going to let you go now, and it's we'll give the information in the next segment. If you are still using a plastic hard shell cooler, things have changed for the better. AO coolers are lighter with twice the efficiency of the traditional bulky coolers. AO coolers are the best available soft-sided cooler with 3/4-inch high-density closed cell foam insulation. They will keep ice frozen for 24 hours in hot weather. Easy to carry, less space, it fits product inside for better performance. Go to AOCoolers.com to order or find a retailer. Available at West Marine.
For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Shasta Trinity Recreation Area is breathtakingly beautiful with all amenities, offering the best camping in California. California's largest reservoir, Diamond Valley, is just 90 miles from Los Angeles or San Diego, designed for an incredible fishery. At Silver Falls Lodge in Oregon, no need to rough it. Stunning beauty and first-class accommodations. Whatever your desire, CalParksCO.com has it.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort Outdoor Footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science Footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
Five fishing poles, one for every fish. Gonna get my dinner from the clear, deep water.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a very great, interesting person on the line with us, and his name is Kevin. And he was with a company. I don't know what you do. Are you owner, co-owner, general manager,
dishwasher? I am the CEO, John.
Wow.
CEO of a company called Soft Science.
And if you don't mind, we don't want to take a whole lot of time, but I want people to understand what Soft Science is and who you are. I know you had some background in the footwear business. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, so Soft Science was founded as a company that was founded by the originators of Crocs. And while they founded Crocs and grew it up, one of the things they knew they could do is improve upon the technology. So our shoes are made primarily of an injection-molded polymer called Trillian. And the Trillian is an incredibly comfortable, pressure-relieving both outsole and insole. And one of the things we found is that not only does Trillian, is it very comfortable to use, but it's very slip resistant.
And so one of the markets we're going after with our shoes is the fishing market. And we've introduced this in some of the Gulf states under a product we call the Fin. And now we have the Fin 2. We're going after the wader business with our new wader shoe called the Terrafin. And then we've signed and are working with such Bassmaster champions like Hank Parker and other number of people that we've got deals with. I'm drawing a blank on some of the younger guys today, but we're really growing in the fishing category because our shoes are comfortable, they're slip resistant, they're non-marking on the boat, and they're being widely considered as the best shoe for water that you can wear because they wick water away quickly and they dry super fast.
Well, speaking of those, when I was in Alaska, I had a pair on the Fins that I used on the boat. And, you know, it was wet and they got wet, but my feet stayed warm. They didn't slip and they dry out very quickly. And then if it happens that, you know, a fish lands on the boat and bleeds or you get something on your shoe, you just rinse it off and in a couple of minutes it's dry.
Well, our shoes are designed, if you take the insoles out and just wash them with soap and water and you put the shoes in the washing machine, they clean up right away. And so you're right. You know, we design these shoes specifically for the water category and specifically for fishing. And we think we're one of the only companies out there that offer this type of footwear for anglers. And it's a category that we think has been ignored for a long period of time, and a lot of the stuff that's out there for offering is incredibly expensive and uncomfortable, or incredibly cheap and falls apart and still uncomfortable. So we feel like we've got a technology that is the best shoe in the market for anglers, be it saltwater, freshwater, or fly fishing.
Well, I remember wearing out a pair of Crocs, and they didn't really last that long. But they were certainly comfortable because I can't stand anything between my toes. And they're not, you know, they're like sandals. But because they are open, and if I would have had something, and I've wore those in Alaska too, but my feet were cold.
Right.
But,
well, and our shoes are similar to a moccasin. So you slide your foot in and you have a lace in the front with a three-lace front. And then we also have, sandals you can wear that are made of 100% Trillium, which are incredibly comfortable. But our shoes are lace-up because one of the things about a fishing shoe is when you get on a boat or you're getting on the dock, you don't want your foot to move inside of the shoe too much. And one of the issues with a clog, like Crocs had, is your foot can move inside the shoe quite a bit. And our shoe, you lace it down. And, you know, one of the popular categories we're also getting great traction in is the kayak fishing market. Because you're in water a lot, our shoes dry very fast, and you want to get up, and you can't afford the shoe to fall off your foot.
One of the
great things
swim
about
back
our shoes
and get it.
Stay secure and stays put.
Yeah. Well, you know what I have on right now is not a fin, and I don't remember what you call it. Basically, it's a walking shoe that you slide into, and extremely comfortable. I mean, it's hardly, you know, they don't weigh anything, but it's got great support not just for your foot, but for your body. And they're really, really comfortable. And what do you call those?
Those are our drift shoes, and we make those for a pre-water or on the water, after water. I mean, they're not as hardcore as the Fin because the Fin are designed that when you're fishing and you're in water a lot, you know, that shoe is, that the mesh upper is designed to wick the water away. The canvas in the shoe that you have, and that we do have a walker shoe, and we have a drift shoe that's kind of after fishing, if you will, while the other ones are in the washing machine. But one of the things you mentioned that's incredibly important with our shoe is how lightweight they are. In fact, one of the great advantages of our fly fishing shoe is compared to other wader boots is they're very lightweight. And so I'm calling it a speed wader because how often do you have to walk in a quarter mile to get to the stream you're gonna fish in? And other shoes that have a bottom of a mesh or a felt, or they have the little spikes, you know, those aren't very comfortable, and they're incredibly uncomfortable to be in, and your ankle rolls all around the shoe when you get in the creek bed, whereas ours doesn't. It really sucks up the rock and makes it very comfortable.
Is that wader available yet?
Those will be those that we just introduced to the marketplace. They'll be available at Academy Sporting Goods and Dick's Sporting Goods coming up, but it probably won't be available until November, and that's when they'll also be on our website, softscience.com. Now, a lot of the shoes, all the shoes we're talking about today, especially the Finn shoe, is available on our website, softscience.com.
That now, somebody like me that wants to pre-test it, think we could work something out?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we have a 30-day return rate, so we want everybody happy with our shoes. Yeah. You know, one of the great things about our website and our web purchases, we have a return rate that's less than 20%. It's only 20% of the industry average, and most of those are because they ordered the wrong size or it didn't quite fit them. So people buy our shoes, they put them on, and they just don't return them. They fall in love with them, and we generally find that they buy additional pairs.
Exactly, of different types. Let's take a step back a little bit and talk about outdoor gear, how important it is. And when you're talking about any outdoor activity, weight is always a big thing. But some of the other things that you want to look for, whether it's soft science or not, give us an idea. Let's start with foot gear. What should people need to know about buying and using foot gear?
Well, there's a couple things. One, it needs to be, if you're going to be outside, it's got to be supportive, and you want something that supports your foot in a great way. You don't want something that you can turn your ankle in. You want a good basis of foot support. Second, you want it to be comfortable, and you want it to fit snugly. The worst thing that can happen is you can be out in your shoes and it not fit correctly, and you get blisters. Then you got trouble making it back to camp. And lastly, you want it to be lightweight. You know, you get out and you start hiking around, and if you're lifting a heavy shoe over, you know, how many thousands of steps, after a while, that's just going to wear you out. So you, whether it be soft science or any type of shoe, comfort, fit, make sure it's lightweight and shock absorbing. I think those are the keys to making sure that you fit or choose the right footwear.
You know, something that I would like to mention is that some people will get on a cruiser or a Ponga and go barefoot, and because it's, you know, it seems to be more comfortable. But please do not go barefoot on a boat. There's so many problems. I mean, I remember one time where I didn't have any shoes on, and my foot slipped a little bit, and kind of my toes kind of got where a rung was coming up. And not only hurt, I mean, it was almost disabling. And then, of course, you've got hooks and other different things that are on the boat. So, you know, if you have a problem that, you know, shoes aren't comfortable on a boat, then get shoes that are.
Right. And you're right, John. One of the things with our Finn shoe is actually has a little bit of a upper protection coming up the side of the shoe to protect the side of your foot, because you're going to get bangs. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to be moving around the boat. The boat's going to be moving underneath of you. You got to be careful about hooks and stuff like that. So we have, I couldn't agree with you more. You've got to have great protection on your feet when you're in the boat, especially when you're in the heat of the battle and you're fighting a fish. The last thing you want to be worrying about is stepping in the wrong spot and having something come up in your bare foot.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only got about a minute or so left. But another question, if you are fishing a stream, say you're fly fishing for trout and there's rocks on the bottom, can you comment on that as to, you know, the...
In fact, I can. In fact, a soft science shoe is kind of like a pillow. And, you know, when you put a pillow over rocks, it absorbs the underside absorbs the differentiation of the rocks, but it keeps the top side level. And that's one of the great things about Trillian is we design it so the upper part stays level, and it just really eats up the unevenness of the rocks. Whereas the other shoes, when you have a very hard sole of the shoe, that shoe's going to pitch underneath your foot, right and left and forward and back.
Right. Well,
that's what leads to injuries and uncomfortableness.
Right. Not only that, rocks are slippery.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, gosh, that went by fast. But I know you're up in the Colorado someplace on your way to go fishing, and you're on your cell phone. I'm glad we got the signal from you.
Absolutely.
But how do we get in touch with Soft Science? It's softscience.com?
Softscience.com, and you go in there and check out our fins, check out our new terrain boots, check out all the products we have available. Those are available to ship now. And
there you go.
Again, we have a money-back return policy if you don't like the shoes.
Okay, perfect.
I guarantee you, once you get them home, you get them on your feet, you're going to... You get that awe factor. You end up going, wow.
Also, Kevin, if they mention Fish Talk Radio, they're half price, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
Well,
sure,
first you got to double it, then you get half price. There you go. Okay. Hey, we appreciate that. Thanks for pulling over the side of the road, and we'll be talking to you soon.
For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Lake Comanche has 54 miles of shoreline and three marinas west of San Francisco, known locally as Monster Lake because of the big fish in abundance. Lake Hemet is surrounded by the majestic beauty of tall pines and giant oaks in the mountains of Southern California, a majestic vacation spot. CalParks Company is your prime location for outdoor adventures in the West.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort Outdoor Footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science Footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer Resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
You get line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get line and I'll get a pole. We'll go down to the crockhead hole, honey, baby mine.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And, wow, that was very interesting. And I tell you, I do have some Soft Science shoes, courtesy of Kevin. And, hey, it works. They're not cheap, but they're a lot, you know, they're not like these Michael Jordan shoes for $200. They're very, very reasonable. I think they run from anywhere from about $40 to $80, something like that at the top end. But
yeah, it was just on their website, John. And I mean, some of the
then
shoes
that's what
they
you
have down
do.
As low.
But anyway,
we
do have Mike Briggs on the line with us. Mike, I'm sorry we've been ignoring you.
That's okay. Like I said, I was just on the website. You can get some of those shoes for as little as $26 off their website.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about fly fishing in Alaska, if we can. I know that
sure.
Clover Pass and, you know, most of the inland passage is primarily salmon and halibut. And
right.
It is possible to catch salmon on a fly rod. You don't see it too often,
yeah.
But especially this time of the year, I guess it's the silvers, and silvers tend to stay on top, right?
Well, I mean, they're usually the peaks are really the ones that are surface dwellers. The silvers like to be down there about 20 to 30 feet, but any of the fish as they enter the freshwater streams are going to be right there on the surface. I mean, most of the creeks and stuff are only a foot or two deep, if that. And so you get a lot of fish right on the surface as they get into that freshwater zone, you know.
Well, the other thing is that when you're in Ketchikan, it's a major airport for float planes.
Correct. They say that we have more float planes in Ketchikan than any other area in the world.
Right. You know, let's talk about float planes just for a second, because sure. They're still flying ones that are made in the 50s. Was that the
correct.
De Havilland? Was it the Beaver and the
Otter?
Otter, yeah.
Yep.
Let's, I mean, I don't know. You know, you wouldn't think you'd want to go in an airplane that's, what, 60, 70 years old, but they keep flying, don't they?
They do. I mean, you got to keep up on the maintenance of them, of course, and the mechanics and the pilots around here are very, very well-suited for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, we've got literally hundreds of these things buzzing around each and every day.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're there to take fishermen out to these remote lakes. I mean, you know, Minnesota is known as the land of 10,000 lakes or whatever. We've got 3 million lakes.
Are you kidding me? 3 million.
So, I mean, there's 100 lakes just within
yeah.
a quick plane flight from where I'm at right
well,
now.
Yeah,
and, you know, everybody thinks about fly fishing in Alaska and they think about going up to the Kenai, but there are plenty of areas in Southeast Alaska to go fly fishing as well.
Yes.
And because fewer people target those areas, there's no pressure on the fish. You can really just have a ball, cutthroat and rainbows, 20-inch long rainbows that you can get into, and just, I mean, really phenomenal freshwater fishing here in Alaska.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, we're talking about float planes. My understanding, I don't think they've actually built, the Havilland built a float plane, and that's what it was for. That's all it did. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any companies that still do that, are there? I mean,
Cessna still does.
They build one that's designed for just as a float plane?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if it's designed specifically for a float plane or if it's a model that they equip with
well,
floats.
Yeah, I know that they have newer planes that they outfit with pontoons. Hey, Mike,
correct.
I have a surprise for us.
Okay.
We had earlier on, we had Rick Willis, an author and fly fishing angler, and we're going to bring him back in for a minute. Rick, do you mind?
I'm here.
Well, I was just talking to Mike Briggs, who lives in Southeast Alaska at Ketchikan, and we were just talking about float planes. And normally in Ketchikan, you think about salmon fishing and halibut fishing, but can you repeat what you said about the airport in Ketchikan, Mike?
I'm sorry, about the airport?
No, about the float planes in Ketchikan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got more float planes in this area than literally than anywhere in the world. And within, you know, a 30, 40-minute flight, probably 100 lakes that you can go to and target different species at each lake, you know. Some of them are known for cutthroat. Some are known for rainbows. Some are known for, you know, just every species. It's going to be different. Some systems are known specifically for which type of salmon, you know, go upstream and spawn there. So, you know, if, depending on what you're looking to target, you can find it within just a short plane ride from Ketchikan, which makes it a lot of fun, of course.
What do you think, Rick, a road trip time?
I've never fly fished from a float plane, but it sounds interesting.
Well, you know,
how slow can you go?
Well, slow. I don't think you control a fly. But you know what's really cool? The first time I ever, I guess probably the only time, no, second time, is when you take off in a float plane, the pilot has a particular lake in mind for the type of fishing that you want to do. But, you know, these lakes could be anywhere from a mile to 10 miles long. And So what he does is he flies over, and I don't care if the lake is 10 miles long. If there's a float plane there, they don't even slow down. They keep going to the next one. And there's that many opportunities. So when you get on a lake, you're the only one on the lake. And they'll lay down, get up close to the bank, put your waders on or whatever you're going to do, and get your fly line out.
Exactly. Let's go.
There you go.
There's some incredible lakes. There's one in particular called McDonald Lake where you can go, and it's got this great sandy shelf that extends way out into the lake, and then you kind of reach this limit, and it just drops off like a cliff, and you stand right on the edge of that and throw your fly line out there, and you get the sockeye and the silvers and the pinks that are running up this creek, you know, from one creek through Lake McDonald and then on to another creek.
Mm-hmm.
And the fishing is incredible. I mean, literally, you can come out with a 15, 20-pound silver.
Well, what about trout and Dolly Varden up there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, on that same trip, we did go further up into the creek, and we got into an area where we were catching some really big rainbows. In fact, one of my buddies, he caught one that was probably about 18, 20 inches long.
Whoa. Well, Rick, you may have some questions for Mike. Mike is not an avid fly angler like you are, but I think you might have some discussion with him, and let's see if we can put something together.
Well, it's the ultimate definition of fly fishing, right?
Oh, yeah, come on. That was very funny.
With us being on an island, I mean, obviously we're more well-known for the saltwater fishing, but like I said, there's hundreds of lakes within a short distance and different species in each one that you can go target. And what's interesting is like
fly anglers.
What's that?
Have you taken fly anglers on floats to those lakes?
Oh, yeah. I've gone, typically, the further, you know, the ones that are a little further out, you'll go with a guide, and they have to have permits from the Forest Service in order to go to take you to those places. The places that are closer to town, actually, the Forest Service won't even allow permits for guides, so you have to be kind of a self-serve guy if you're going to do it there. But those areas are within driving distance or a short boat ride, so There's plenty of places to get into some big fish. I mean, I have a couple of friends that go to the Naha Bay River system every spring and then again in the winter for a steelhead run.
I recall hearing stories that from the Forest Service, you can actually rent a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And you get on a float plane and they fly you in, drop you off, and come back and pick you up a week later, hopefully. Can you comment on that?
They're dirt cheap. Yeah, I mean, you can get some of these cabins are with, you know, driving distance or a boat ride. Like you said, some you have to take a float plane to get to. There's no trails to hike to them. And you're literally, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. And they're cheap. They used to be $25 a night. I think they've boosted the rate up to like $40 a night now. But some of them will sleep as many as 8 people.
Yeah.
So you can get out there and just have a ball. And then, of course, there's guys here. For instance, you know, there may be a skiff available on that lake without a motor, but you can rent the motor from one of the guys here in Ketchikan and take it with you on the float plane so you can motor around, like you said, those 10-mile-long lakes and find some of the better spots to get to.
Wow, what do you usually get to fly somebody out?
It obviously depends on how far it is, but round trip for the plane is typically somewhere between $300 and $500. So you get them dropped off out there. Yeah, you know, get dropped off on a Thursday, have them come back and pick you up on a Monday kind of a thing typically. But if you got like 4 guys splitting it, it doesn't make it so cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm. And you either better pack a lunch or catch some fish, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'll definitely want to take coolers. I mean, even these Forest Service cabins, they've got like wood stoves in them, and they're all stocked with wood. So you can cook right there inside of the cabin. And it really is glorious. There's different ones. It depends on what you want to do. I mean, certainly there's plenty on these freshwater lakes where you can go fly fish. There's also some on like saltwater bays where you can drop crab pots. And of course, there's still, you know, freshwater systems nearby where you can still do some fly fishing as well as saltwater fishing. So,
well, when's the end of the season, Mike?
Well, you know, I mean, the salmon run from basically Memorial Day through to the 1st of October, and that's our summer season. That's typically when people want to come up to Alaska. Mm-hmm. After October 1st, the weather can get kind of dicey. Sometimes you'll have a beautiful October where, you know, yeah, nothing, you know, no real big change from August or September. Other times, it's like the light switch was flipped and it's blowing 80 yeah, miles an hour yeah, and raining sideways.
Well, Rick, it sounds to me like we got to look into this. It sounds like it'd be something you'd love to do.
I don't want to be in Alaska after October, that's for sure.
Well, there's southeast Alaska, you know, you get almost no rain. It gets cool and windy, but those lakes are up in the mountains and they're protected. But, you know, it's kind of a manly sport, I guess, is one way to put it.
But, well, and in November, you come up, there's a great steelhead run, and yeah, you can do some ice fishing on the lakes.
Oh, no, that's okay. Anyway.
I'm crazy about ice fishing in Alaska.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, with a fly rod, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're getting kicked out of here, guys. But anyway, thanks for coming back on there. Appreciate it, Rick. And thank you, Mike. It's been a lot of fun. And let's talk some more about this in the future.